Well, it took the Royal Commission almost 4 days to haul National Australia Bank over the coals for not acting in its Superfund members' best interests. Well, the Commission achieved a similar devastating result with wealth manager IOOF in less than a day. The ABC's senior digital business reporter Michael Yander has been live blogging the Commission this week. He joined me a little earlier. So, Michael, how is IOOF accused of not acting in its members' best interests?
Well, Linda, first of all, FOFA, the Future of Financial Advice Reforms, introduced lower fee products with no trailing commissions. Now, IOOF didn't automatically transfer its members across to these new lower fee products. In fact, they actually budgeted for member inertia and financial planner self-interest to keep people in the old higher fee funds. Otherwise, they would have had to charge higher fees on these new lower fee products. Now, the second case where they didn't act in their members' best interests was an error made at least in part by a custodian company that was managing some of IOOF's subsidiary Questor's super funds. That custodian was ironically owned by National Australia Bank, which has been in the spotlight this week. It was actually an accounting error, and the custodian paid out too much to members back in 2009. Now, it took until 2011 for Questor to find out, and without any board or senior management approval, it decided to claw back the overpayment by distributing less money to members for the next 3 years. Now, of course, this left new members worse off. A whistleblower revealed this in 2013, so the board of IOOF and Questor eventually came up with a compensation program. But the most damning accusation from counsel assisting Michael Hodge was that IOOF used super members' funds to pay their own compensation.
You've used the members' money, which is the reserve, to pay the members.
No, we've used the general reserve to compensate the members.
And the general reserve belongs to the members?
No, that's not my understanding.
And what you could have done was to instead use the company's money to actually properly make the members whole.
That's an alternative, yes.
And to restore the reserve.
That's an alternative.
But you haven't done that.
No, we haven't.
And can I suggest to you, you haven't done that because you continue to be, as Questor originally, in breach of your duties to the members to act in the best interests of the members?
No, I believe we acted in the interests of the best interests of the members.
Well, IOOF's Managing Director Christopher Kelleher didn't seem in the good books with Commissioner Kenneth Hayne or Counsel Assisting Michael Hodge.
No, as you heard there, at times he sounded a little bit flippant, Linda. And first of all, it turns out that when IOOF wrote to the affected Questor members, it made out that it was compensating them for a mistake, not a deliberate decision to reduce their payouts to claw back that overpayment, that original mistake many years earlier. Mr. Kelleher's response to this line of questioning from Michael Hodge didn't go down too well with Commissioner Kenneth Hayne.
Do you agree with me this statement is misleading?
Yes, it's potentially capable of misleading.
Is that a matter of concern to you as the Managing Director of IOOF?
Yeah, on subsequent inspection, yes, but I'm not sure what turns on it.
And then...
What do you mean by your last answer, Mr. Kelleher? I'm not sure what turns on it.
Well, Commissioner,
are you saying it's a matter of indifference, a matter of no importance? Is that what I'm to take away from that comment?
And Mr. Kelleher's evidence also ended rather comically when he told Michael Hodge that the compensation scheme met, quote, the pub test because IOOF had received no customer complaints about it. I take it you're familiar, Linda, with the book and film Catch 22.
You say that at no time has Questor received any demands or complaints?
Yes.
Can I suggest it would be impossible for members to make a demand or a complaint because they didn't know what Questor was doing?
Yes.
I see what you mean, Michael. So how did the day end and what have we learned this week?
Well, Linda, the day ended with Energy Super's chairman, Scott Wilson, and he was giving evidence about the appointment of directors and also how some of those directors appointed by trade unions as member representatives donated their fees back to the relevant union that appointed them, himself not included. He said he keeps his fees. That evidence has been continuing running late at the commission. The big theme for the week, though, is how members' best interests often conflict with the profit motive, particularly the profit motive of retail for-profit superannuation funds. And this leads to an almost irreconcilable conflict of interest for retail super fund trustees who are have a legal obligation to put the interests of the Superfund members first, but at the same time are employed and paid for by the wealth manager or major bank that's paying their salary and is looking to make profit out of these Superfund members. And how you fix that conflict of interest in a for-profit superannuation system, that'll be a very interesting question for Kenneth Hayne to resolve.
The ABC's senior digital business reporter, Michael Yander.